Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I was reminded of a story yesterday. I'm working on this message, worked on it during the week, and looked at several passages of Scripture, and I tried to do my best to get these passages inside me, in my heart, so I can stand up and preach. And I thought about a story that was shared with me by a young man in this church, and I don't know if you recognize this or not, but I want you to know this. In order to be a real old-time Bible fundamentalist, you got to drink coffee. And you got to drink a lot of coffee, a lot of coffee. You need to understand breakfast of champions, coffee, black, the way God meant it to be. And I drink a lot of coffee. And this young man used the illustration concerning another doctrine, but I want to plug it into this Bible doctrine, this passage of Scripture that I want to preach this morning. And I hope to start with it, and I hope to end with it, just so it'll be a hook. A window that we will remember this doctrine that I'm going to do my best to preach. I'm going to have feeble attempts, but I'm going to do my best to preach it this morning. And the young man said this to me one time, and I recognize this because as much as I drink coffee, I can't get by with one cup. I can't get by with two cups. I'm telling you, I'm old now, and I don't drink coffee after 6 o'clock at night. I don't do that anymore, but man, I drink, I don't know. I've never really measured it, to tell you the truth. I might drink two pots of coffee a day. You say, wow, well, it's either that or weigh 300 pounds. So that's what I do, all right? And coffee, what I did for a while, and I stopped doing it, I hate weak coffee. You know, the kind you can see through? Man, you might as well drink dishwater, I think, you know? And I did this for a while where I'd fill up a cup of coffee, drink it half down, and then put hot water in it. Then I got a second cup and the same amount of caffeine, right? No calories because there's no milk in this thing. I would weigh 300 pounds. And I'd drink half of that down and I'd fill it up again with hot water. I found before very long, the more water you put in coffee, you keep diluting it, pretty soon you don't have coffee anymore. Israel in the Old Testament had been commanded by God to be distinct, to be different. I want to preach on Bible separation, come at it from another angle. I want you to understand, because just like I said in Sunday school, the Bible says we're to comfort the feeble-minded and admonish the unruly, the rebels, and to always stay at that. And I recognize this in ministry, and I recognize this early in ministry, everybody doesn't get what I preach. You should know this as a parent. Everybody, some people, they're in different wavelengths. There are people in the family of God, don't be offended by this, I'm not talking about you, all right? There are people in the family, the people I'm talking about don't even know what I'm talking about when I say this, all right? There are people in the family of God, they're one-dimensional. There are people in God's family, and they're saved, and God loves them, but they don't understand concepts. They don't. They're not there. They're not a deep thinker in any way, shape, or form. And they're precious to God, and they're part of the family of God. And I recognize I can preach something one time, and some people get it right now. Other people, they don't. They still smile. Some of them even say amen, and they don't have any idea what I'm talking about. And I'll preach it a third time later on, and they still don't get it. And so here I am this morning again, and I haven't preached on it in a while. In fact, I haven't preached on it all spring, on separation. If the salt hath lost its savor, Jesus said, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. Israel, different times during Israel's history, they lost their distinctiveness. We find that in the book of Nehemiah. Preaching through that right now. In studying 1 Thessalonians in our Sunday school, the auditorium Sunday school class, Paul wrote this young church at Thessalonica. He was concerned because he felt they had lost their distinctiveness in the city of Thessalonica. And he warned them concerning that and how they ought not to defraud one another, sell one another short, shortchange one another. They need to take care of one another. And specifically, that was about sexual sin. We need to be totally different than the world. I shared this last Sunday night, and it isn't original with me. How many remember the Volkswagen Beetle, the original ones? Not the ones that are now. Those are fakes, all right? The original Volkswagen Beetles were cold in the winter. Their heaters were absolutely useless. The windows never defrosted, not in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. If you drove one of those around back in the late 50s and in the 60s and into the 70s, you drove around blind most of the winter. That's just the way it is. They sold little kits that could beef up the defrost, but even that didn't get it. And the thing that was, the Volkswagen Beetle was a great seller for almost three decades. The Ford Edsel. Ford advertised that they were going to take the best out of all their Ford models and put it together and come up with a supercar. And of course, that supercar just lasted 1958 through 1960. It just didn't work. Why did the Edsel not work with all the best parts and the Volkswagen Beetle did? Marketers referred to that, what the Beetle had, as a differential advantage. It was so different than everything else that everybody wanted one. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people wanted one. We are called of God. This is a bad word for some people, for rebels. We are called of God to be separatists. You cannot, if you cut the doctrine of Bible separation out of your Old Testament and New Testament, you destroy your Bible. It's all over. God commanded Israel to be different than all the Gentile nations. They were to intermarry. They were to be totally different because God wanted them distinct. And then we come to the New Testament church age, same doctrine. God wants us to be biblical Bible separatists. We're to be different than the world. We're to be totally different. Now, the scripture, in talking about Bible separation, go to 1 John, you're already there, chapter 2, and let's look at verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. If we're not careful in our Christianity, pretty soon it won't be coffee anymore. You might get some people along the way in the beginning, but it won't be long, and there's no power of God. Before I get into the message, you know, we are the alternative. They talk about contemporary churches and contemporary church services and the rock and roll bands and the emerging church and how that was, you know, because we have stayed old-fashioned. I'll use that word, and I use it proudly. Some people don't understand what I really mean when I say that. Because we've held to the book, we are the alternative. We're the church that's different now. I don't know if you know that or not. And that's good. I say that is good because people know where to come to find Jesus. That is good. We're told to be different than the world. The world has become so churchy and the church has become so worldly, it's hard to distinguish between the two. John Wesley said way back in his day, you might as well speak of a heavenly devil as a worldly Christian. The world, the cosmos is the word to choose. K-O-S-M-O-S. That speaks of a present order, a world system, a culture made up of broken people in living in a broken creation. Verse 15 of chapter 2 of 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, takes in a lot of sin right there. The lust of the eyes, it takes even more. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Greek word for flesh is sarxenos. The Greek word for world is cosmos. It's a system. The flesh doesn't need the world to help it to sin. I have an old nature. I have an old, Adamic, fallen man that lives within the body of Tim Rader. I got born again and became spiritually alive, and I also have that new nature that lives within me, the second Adam, Jesus Christ in the form of God, the second person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. He lives within me as a child of God. But I still have that flesh. I still have that old Tim Rader. And if I let him go, if I let him do what he wants to do, if I allow him to talk like he wants to talk, react like he wants to react, dress like he wants to dress, you know, he's going to end up just like the world because we follow the leader over and over again. We are to be separated from the world. Before I get to what I want to preach, I'm trying to nail down this doctrine of separation. That doesn't mean we look weird. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean we dress weird. We can stay stylish, but not immodest. We can stay up to date with our speech patterns, but not fleshly. Yeah, don't go there. Not as a child of God. You know what worldliness does to a Christian? I've got several things I would like to share here this morning as best that I can. Worldliness destroys Christian joy. It does. You want to know a miserable person? Someone that's born again but talks like the world and drinks like the world and dresses like the world. That's a miserable person. That's an unstable person. There's no real joy. They do know joy. They know pockets of joy when they get right with God. And then they fall right back to the world. And I'm just saying, don't go there. Go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, very quickly. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. You'll be familiar with some of them. You won't with others. It won't take long. Proverbs 13, verse 15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. It's a command over and over and over again. Now, I'm telling you, if you disagree with me, don't shoot the messenger. You're disagreeing with God. It's that simple. And I'm telling you again, if you were to cut out all the Bible separation verses in your Bible, you don't have much of a Bible left. You might as well just throw the rest out as well. We're to make the world hungry for Jesus. We don't make the world hungry for Jesus by being a chameleon, by talking like they do, by going the places they go, by being miserable like they are, by drinking like they drink, by shooting up drugs like they shoot up drugs, by dressing like they, by taking all your clothes off. That doesn't point anybody to Calvary. Nobody. Psalm and Psalms 51. David here sinned with Bathsheba and he's wanting to get back with God. Look what he says in verse 8. He says in verse 3, by the way, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. I can't get away from it. God, wash me. God, make me clean. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Verse 12. David said, I want to be happy again. I'm tired of being miserable. Tired of living in the wilderness. I'm tired of coming to church and getting beat up because the Bible is preached there and then going out in the world and caving in and being weak and living like the world and then coming back again and getting beat up. Those kind of people don't like to come to church. I understand that. But here's the deal. I'm the under-shepherd here. I can't change the message. I have no right to change the book. None. And we've got to hear the truth. If we become worldly and you check off the boxes, I've gone through a list of them already, it will rob you of your joy, the joy that only comes from God. One more time before I get to point two. Well, let's go over to point two. I want to do that first. Psalm 137. You're already in the Psalms. Psalm 137, verse 4. Israel's in the land of Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They hung their harps at the willows of Babylon. The song stopped because they were in a spiritual fog. That's what worldliness does to a Christian. It'll take away your joy, number one. Number two, it will create a spiritual fog. And you won't know what's right, and you won't know what's wrong. I know some of you are there right now. Maybe some of you are in your 20s, your 30s, maybe some of you are teenagers. You hear one thing, you're seeing another thing lived out, you're involved in this sin over here, and so you're in a fog. You really don't fellowship with God. You have a hard time discerning between right and wrong. Go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. Verse verses 31 and 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. As a child of God, you know that as a child of God, if you do wrong, God spanks you. He loves you. He corrects you. He's going to set you going in the right direction again. And he's going to continue to correct you if you're truly born again, truly a child of God. So even though we're saved by grace, there is no license to sin. But we're to judge ourselves. And by the way, don't tell me, don't go to Matthew 7 and take out of context, judge not lest you be judged. Don't say, oh, you can't judge me. That's not what Jesus is saying there. Jesus was talking to the hypocrites, not his disciples. They were the ones that weren't worthy to judge. The followers of Christ, by their fruit you shall know them. And so I examine my own heart, my own life, and I look, man, am I doing this right? Do I have the right attitude here? Should I be going there? Should I be reading this? Should I be wearing this? That's a constant thing. It's a constant thing. Don't get worn down by the world. It's hot. It's summertime. I say it because I'm grieved so often. You dress right in church, you don't dress right other places. Not like you wear church clothes other places. But listen to these Bible words. We're called of God in 1 Thessalonians 4 concerning dress and all those sexual sins he lists there to please the Lord. 1 Timothy 2:9, to be modest. Galatians 5:13, don't use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. 1 John 2:10, we're not to be a stumbling block to our brethren. 1 Corinthians 10, give none offense to the brethren. The book of Titus tells us to be chaste, pure. There are certain things we ought to wear and certain things we ought not to wear. Somebody told me they saw me on Facebook wearing pink shorts this morning. I said, that's impossible. I have never worn pink shorts. Somebody would have had to have been, in my bedroom to see me ever wear. That's impossible. But then I got to thinking, I started doubting. Somebody photoshopped some pictures. And then they admitted to me afterwards, no, that's not. If you ever see me wearing pink shorts, just take me by the hand and lead me to the nursing home. That's probably where I need to go, all right? As a child of God, and there are certain things I just shouldn't wear. Like shrink-wrap clothing. Those are meant to go under clothes. You say, what happened in 10 years? It's amazing. It really is. And the world loves it, of course. They do. Fleshly habits, cussing, anger. I struggle with anger. I do. Lust, fleshly conduct, going certain places. Then there's the deeper fleshly sins, like bad philosophy, wrong purpose, bad motivation. It's all flesh. Love not the world. John said, neither the things that are in the world. It's all going to pass away. You're a child of God. Worldliness will destroy your joy. It will create a spiritual fog. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me. He was a preacher. Paul said at the end of his ministry, remember Demas? He's gone. Having loved this present world. Some people dress immodestly because they love their body and they think everybody else ought to love it. I'm going to pray that God makes you fat. It could happen. It could happen. Some people drink and go to parties because they're weak and they're somebody when they get some beers in them. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Worldliness will dampen zeal. Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to make this quick. Go there quickly. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Worldliness will take away your zeal. You will lose your fire. You will lose your love for God. Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure, you show me what a man loves, I'll show you where he's going to end up. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Boy, I hope you treasure the things of God. I pray and I trust that you treasure the things that are eternal and not the things of this world. And by the way, if somebody has fallen away from God, man, don't give up on them. Man, they still have life to live. They can still get right with God. They can still get saved if they're not saved. But they can still get right with God, and they can still do something for God. That's a great truth. That's the mercy of God. That's the long-suffering of God. But you show me where a man's treasure is, and I'll show you where his heart is. Immature people really struggle with this. Not that I'm the epitome of maturity. I'm not trying to pretend that is the case. You know, I'm still pretty shallow about a few things. I won't tell you what they are. But a lot of times it has to do with football. I want you to know that. I'm still pretty shallow about a few things. But the things that are eternal, they're gonna last forever. That's what we're supposed to love, not the world. I might be preaching to somebody here this morning or listening to a radio broadcast, and you're caught up into a certain kind of music that doesn't honor God. And your heroes are the people that play that music. Oh, please wake up. Wake up. Don't let them lead you away from God. I don't care if it's rock and roll or what they call country music now, which is rock and roll. Is what it is. It sings about bed hopping. It used to sing about losing your hound dog. Now it's swapping wives and wickedness and drinking and all kinds of evil. You tell me that's of God. No. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Revelation 3 verse 14 says, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, by the way, I hope you're, if you're mad at me, you're wrong. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm preaching what the Bible says. You know who you're really mad at? Shake your fist at God. Now, if you get mad about this kind of preaching, it says, unto the angel of the church at Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They had become so worldly. They were so in love with the world, Ichabod was written over the door. They were so in love with the world, the power of God was gone. The fire had gone out. And they had no zeal for God. Worldliness will take away, will rob you of your joy. It will rob you. You'll be in a spiritual fog of your discernment. Worldliness will take away your zeal, and it will erode your peace. Don't have time to turn there. Just write it down. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. Hezekiah prays to God, and he said his peace had turned to bitterness. Psalm 32 verses 1 and 2. Speaks about being right with God and the blessedness of being right with God and having our transgressions forgiven and our sins covered and how the Lord imputeth not iniquity on those who are in love with God. And great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Worldliness will erode your peace. Worldliness. You wring your hands because of the situation of our government. You wring your hands and you lay awake at night and you worry because of some money you got in the bank that you lost due to the stock markets. You have no peace of heart anymore. It's because where your treasure is, there is your heart also. It's because you've taken your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and you become a lover of this world. Love not the world. It also will tarnish your testimony. I'm talking about worldliness. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. In 1971, I was right with God. 1972, I carried my Bible to high school, public high school. I was right with God. I had people make fun of me, but I was following my preacher's example. And I was right with God. And I stood. 1973, I was right with God. I love Jesus. 1974, I fell away from God. 1975, did some things I'm not pleased of or proud of. And I was miserable. I was miserable. In 1976, that's when I finally surrendered to God. Say, okay, God, wherever you want me to go to school, however you want me to talk, whoever you want me to hang out with, and I knew, however you want me to dress, I'm yours. And the peace of God came back. It's wonderful to be right with God. And I want to end this by saying the most precious thing you own is your testimony. It's the life you live in front of others. No man's an island. You say, oh man, I believe in Christian liberty. Nobody can tell me how to live, how to dress, where to go, how to talk. You have no right to do that. I don't, but God does. And God does. And it might be good for you to read your Bible, have some Bible study. It might be good. You'll get more like Jesus instead of less like him. You know, there's nothing wrong with the boat being in the water. We're supposed to be as sinners as the church in the world. There is something wrong when the water gets in the boat. And the world has gotten into the church. It's gotten into people's lives. You know, and what it does is it destroys peace. You end up having no discernment. It destroys joy. It destroys zeal. It'll destroy your testimony. The very thing that God will use to bring others into the family of God, you'll be labeled a hypocrite. I referred to this one Sunday night some weeks ago, and it fits right here. Pastor Bill, at some point in class, had assigned the young people to write out their testimony. That must have been a personal evangelism class, a Bible class. And he wrote his out by way of example, and he couldn't find what he wrote. Jillian, were you in that class? This was a long time ago. Was Jillian in the auditorium here? She downstairs? Oh, right here. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Okay. She shook her head no. I might have made this up. Maybe I dreamed this. I don't think so. I don't. Because that was so funny to me. Bill come into the classroom, and he was exasperated. You know, teaching kids at school, long days, you know. And he couldn't find what he wrote out. His testimony. And he walked in and said, I've lost my testimony. I've lost my testimony. And I remember the young people being so concerned. What did Pastor Bill do? You know, what went wrong? Do you remember the incident? No. You got Alzheimer's too. All right. Wasn't you, was it? Okay. Yeah, all right. He said, he's never lost his testimony. But if you become worldly... By the way, it was just the paper, right? If you become worldly, you develop appetites that aren't pleasing to God. And then you got to feed those appetites. And they turn into monsters. And before long, they run you. There's nothing wrong with the boat being in the water. There is something wrong with the water being in the boat. The world has become so churchy, and the church has become so worldly. It's hard to distinguish between the two. John Wesley said, you might as well speak of a heavenly devil as a worldly Christian. Boy, he preached it straight. Worldliness. Put enough water in coffee. Pretty soon you don't have coffee anymore. You say, how do those churches get liberal? Worldliness. How do Christians fall away from God? Worldliness.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.